The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you are always more ready to hear than we to pray, and to give more than we either desire or deserve. Pour upon us the abundance of your mercy, forgiving us those things of which our conscience is afraid, and giving us those good things for which we are not worthy to ask, except through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
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 So our collect today is about abundance. Specifically, our collect reminds us that abundance always begins with God. God is abundant in hearing us. We can never pray too much. God is abundant in giving to us more than we could possibly wish for.
Amen.
God is abundant in mercy, both in forgiving us when we fail and also in giving us good things that we are ashamed even to ask for. So abundance begins with God, and abundance is the overwhelming reality of life in God. Now, our gospel reading today, at first glance, doesn't seem to be about abundance at all, but about divorce, right? It's one of these passages that only comes up once every 3 years, but when it comes up, you got to talk about it. So when Jesus gets asked about divorce, the first thing he does is push the question back to his interrogators by asking them, well, what does the Bible say? And so the Pharisees answered, well, the Bible says divorce is allowed. And Jesus says, yep, that's right. Divorce happens. Relationships come apart. God knows this, right? God has seen it from early on. And so the Torah actually gives us instructions on how to navigate this troubling occurrence in a way that would reduce the pain and suffering which divorcees have to endure. So Jesus recognizes this, and he makes sure that gets stated right from the beginning of the conversation. That's the starting point. Then Jesus goes on to say something that every person who has been divorced knows from personal experience. Divorce hurts. Divorce is painful. Divorce is messy and complicated and frequently devastating. And sometimes divorce is necessary. But that pain, that messiness, that complexity of relationships, that's not what God intended for human beings. Nor is that what people getting married usually intend either. Right? So here's the issue. That relationship of love between two human beings that results in an exclusive promise to one another is intended to be a relationship of abundant love that provides a window into God's love for us. And when that love is not so abundant, when one partner decides to leave that relationship and pursue another one, right, that's what we call adultery. Then the abundance of love for which our souls were created gets traded in for something more transactional and self-seeking. And so that's when sin enters into a relationship and people get hurt, because that's what sin does. People feel used. That's the breakage in relationship that the Pharisees knew that Jesus would call out, just like all the other sins of injustice and hurt that Jesus preached against. And so Jesus' words on divorce are not intended to make anyone stay in an abusive or hurtful relationship. Right? When that relationship is ended, when people are getting hurt, the Bible's instructions are to go get that piece of paper to recognize that fact so that both parties can move on with their lives with a nice clear boundary between them. Nor is Jesus condemning anyone for having a divorce in their past. Jesus is not, and Jesus, by the way, is not saying anything about the genders of those who might get married, however this passage might get misused. Jesus, instead, is pointing to Scripture, pointing to the kind of deep, intimate relationships for which God created us. Relationships that can only exist in a context of trust, which is developed through years of sustained effort. Jesus is inviting each of us into the abundance of God's love, sharing that love with one another in faithful and mutually self-emptying relationships with spouses, with Christian sisters and brothers, with friends, and with neighbors. Because abundance begins with God. And abundance is the overwhelming reality of life in God. Now, this weekend, we celebrated God's abundant love, as some of us experience it, in simpler relationships. At the Feast of St. Francis, we like to bless the animals, and so that's what we did this afternoon. And then for our liturgy tomorrow, I like to call it Stuffy Sunday, and invite children to bring their stuffed animals to receive a blessing. Because our pets, whether living or stuffed, they represent to us an abundance of affection and acceptance and unconditional love that points us toward God like few other presences in our lives. And so we give thanks to God for these objects of our affections, these trainers that show us the abundance God intends for our deeper and more complex relationships with one another. And so this is our tie back to stewardship. October at St. Thomas this year is Stewardship Month. Because just as as abundance and loving relationships begins with God, so does abundant giving. Our love reflects God's love. Our giving reflects God's giving. And our sustained commitment to one another reflects God's unending commitment to us. Now, one path down this road is to point to the biblical requirement of giving, which is tithing, which means 10% of your income. It's in there, back in the Torah. But legalism in giving is the same loveless strategy that the Pharisees were using in our gospel today when they challenged Jesus about divorce. No one is going to buy their way into heaven with a tithe, just as no one is going to guarantee their entry into God's kingdom by keeping any of the rest of the law. That's not how this system works. It kind of misses the point. And so as you hear about stewardship over the next few weeks, as you receive a couple of different mailings about it, including one with a pledge card, I encourage you to keep your eyes focused on the abundance of God. Please do not give out of a feeling of guilt or obligation or legalism. St. Thomas is not a charity demanding your sympathy. And St. Thomas is not an entertainment venue where you kind of just have to pay your entry fee. We as a community are not in the business of earning God's approval. Instead, St. Thomas is a part of Christ's church, where all that we do begins and ends in the abundance of God. And so your pledge is your opportunity to practice recognizing that abundance, imitating it so that you can learn to notice it and rejoice more wholeheartedly wherever God shows God's abundance to you in your life. In worship, in service, in learning, in giving, we nurture our souls and seek to draw close to God. And so I invite you to consider in prayer, even today, what kind of pledge makes sense for your particular household. Listen for God's abundance to reveal itself to you, and then share that abundance on the pledge card that you'll get in a couple weeks. Stewardship begins with God's abundance, because abundance begins with God, and abundance is the overwhelming reality of life in God. Amen.
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 Amen.